health system in the besieged territory is on the verge of collapse. Voters in Turkey are casting their ballots in nationwide municipal elections where the ruling AK Party is determined to reclaim control of the major cities of Istanbul and Ankara from the opposition. Our top story for this half hour, nearly 6 months into the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war on Gaza, attacks continue all across the besieged territory, causing more deaths and destruction. According to Palestinian officials, around 80 people lost their lives in 24 hours. Most of them were killed in fresh strikes on aid seekers near Gaza City. A number of civilians were also killed as Israeli forces targeted tents belonging to displaced Palestinians in the central city of Deir al-Bala. During 3 weeks of siege on the Al-Shifa hospital, Israeli forces have killed hundreds of civilians in and around the medical facility. Some 100 Palestinians are still trapped inside the hospital, while the regime has destroyed over 1,000 nearby homes. The death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza is approaching 32,800. Israeli forces press on with their genocidal onslaught on Gaza, leaving more deaths and destruction across the besieged territory. Our correspondent Moti Abu Mosabe joined us earlier from the central city of Deir al-Bala to give us the latest on the situation.
Israeli occupation forces continued committing more crimes and massacres against the Palestinian people. And over the last night, the Israeli occupation forces committed an appalling massacre near Al-Kuwait roundabout after attacking and killing at least 12 Palestinian civilians of the members of the popular committees that were formed to secure and to distribute the delivery of the humanitarian needs and necessities to the people in Gaza City and the northern part of Gaza. It is not the only crime the Israeli occupation forces commit against the Palestinian, against those committees. However, it would never be the last, as the Israeli occupation forces are still insisting those committees in a way that deepens the suffering of the Palestinian people there. On Friday, the Israeli occupation forces killed at least 17 Palestinian civilians and members of those committees in Al-Shija'iyya neighborhood after targeting Al-Shija'iyya club, including, as you know, members of the police, of the Palestinian police in Gaza City. So these crimes is still continued with the insistence of the Israeli occupation forces to deepen the suffering of the Palestinian people and starving the Palestinian people. When it comes to the western part of Gaza City, particularly the surrounding areas of the Al-Shifa Medical Complex, as you know, the Israeli aggression against that area is still persistent and continued with more airstrikes, more attacks and more killing of the Palestinian people. According to Gaza's health ministry, that the Israeli occupation forces have killed and unalived at least 400 Palestinian civilians since the beginning of this brutal aggression against the Al-Shifa Medical Complex and that area. And needless to mention that thousands of the Palestinian civilians were kidnapped and abducted by the Israeli occupation forces, and in addition to the massive destruction that was inflicted over the ceaseless Israeli attacks that targeted that area.
Several UN agencies have called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza as the death toll from the onslaught continues to rise. International organizations, including UNICEF and UNRWA, said an immediate ceasefire is needed in Gaza to save the lives of people and provide necessary humanitarian aid. The organizations also warned about the spread of diseases. They said Gaza's health system is collapsing. On Saturday, the World Health Organization said thousands of Palestinians have to be urgently evacuated out of Gaza for life-saving health services. Israeli forces have shot dead a Palestinian for allegedly attempting a stabbing attack in the southern city of Beersheba. Israeli media identified the Palestinian as a young man without offering further details. Israeli authorities said he was killed on the spot after wounding two people with a knife at Beersheba's main bus station. Palestinians launched a new wave of deadly attacks against Israeli targets since the regime began its onslaught on the Gaza Strip on October the 7th. We were earlier joined by our correspondent in Ramallah, Manor Kandil, to give us more details about the Beer Sheva incident.
This Palestinian man arrived at the central bus station in Beer Sheva, or as the Israelis called as Beer Sheva, and then he had a knife. He stabbed Israelis, wounding at least two. One of them is an Israeli soldier. Israeli police there opened fire, shot him and killed him on the spot. And later they revealed his identity, that he's a man from the Rahat area in the Naqab Desert. So we have to mention that in recent months, there had been an escalation of anti-Israeli operations, whether stabbings or even opening fire at Israeli forces in the lands that were occupied in 1948. And the Palestinians who are still living in these areas are able to confront the Israeli aggression and the Israeli occupation of 1948 to prove once again that they are Palestinians and that they are still holding to their Palestinian nationality, despite the fact that there are strict measures are being imposed by the Israelis here in the occupied West Bank, in Al-Quds and in the 1948 areas. But at the end of the day, Palestinians are doing their utmost to continue carrying out from a time to another anti-Israeli operations.
Secretary General of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Movement, Ziad al-Nakhala, has met with Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian in Tehran. The meeting comes only a few days after the political bureau chief of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, arrived in the Iranian capital for high-level talks. Gisumi Shahmari has the details.
The grounds of solidarity on full display. Secretary General of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Movement, Ziad al-Nakhala, meeting with Iran's Foreign Minister, Hossein Amir Abdullahian, to discuss the latest developments in Gaza and the ongoing genocidal war. And later, taking to the same podium as the political bureau chief of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, took less than a week ago to thank Iran for playing an important role in supporting the resistance of the Palestinian people.
The Palestinian resistance has always been supported by Iran, which has paid the price for constantly defending Palestinians' rights. Iran's active diplomacy played a leading role in clarifying the position of Palestine's resistance, and the Palestinian people will eventually achieve a final victory in their fight against Israel. They will be a model for all the people of the world.
Words that echo comments made by Ismail Haniyeh, who is also in Tehran for high-level talks. Both officials have met with Iran's leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and other high-ranking officials, including the Iranian president.
These meetings with high-ranking Iranian officials show that Iran plays a significant role as a consulting party. It also shows the high level of coordination between Iran and the axis of resistance, sending a clear message that Iran will always support Palestine.
Meanwhile, these meetings in Tehran come after a UN Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, as the U.S. for the first time abstained from the vote, leaving Israel isolated.
The timing of the visits by senior Palestinian officials to Tehran is quite significant, given that, in the course of time, what we have been seeing in the other front, meaning between Israel and its allies, including the United States, is a division among them. And we're seeing that Israelis are losing political and international support day by day. There are issues related to the future of Gaza, future of the war, and some political efforts in order to establish a ceasefire in Palestine. And I think those are important issues which can be and have been raised and discussed in the meetings held in Tehran.
The presence of Palestinian officials in Tehran is a clear display of unity at a time when the international community is showing more solidarity with Palestinians than ever before. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
Welcome back. Voting is underway in Turkey's local elections, where people are casting their ballots to choose mayors and provincial council members. across the country's 81 provinces. Over 61 million people are eligible to vote. The capital, Ankara, and the main city of Istanbul are the key battlegrounds between the ruling Justice and Development Party and the opposition. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has described Istanbul as the national jewel and hopes his AK Party will regain the city. They lost it to the Republican People's Party in 2019. It's believed that Istanbul's mayor, Ekrem İmamoğlu, will be the main challenger to the ruling party in the 2028 presidential vote if re-elected. While the main prize for Erdogan is Istanbul, he also seeks to win back the capital, Ankara, that he also lost control of 5 years ago. Voting will end at 1400 GMT. Initial results are expected 5 hours later. Rashan Sagam is our correspondent in Istanbul. She tells us about the significance of the elections in Turkey.
More and more people are flocking to this polling station where I am located now in the heart of Istanbul in Beşiktaş district. A lot of people are coming to cast their votes, elderly, youth, people who are voting for the first time. I spoke to some people who are voting for the first time and they said that they are keen to cast their votes because this is their democratic right. For Turkish people, this is very important. It may seem like a local election to pick a mayor of a province or a council. However, it is very important because they think that this deals with their everyday life, their crisis that they're living in their provinces. For example, in Istanbul, the new mayor will have to solve a lot of issues. We have, of course, the cost of living a problem. We have the traffic, transportation problems, healthcare system. We also have the expected Istanbul earthquake that both political parties have been campaigning that they will work on a plan to avoid losses during the expected Istanbul earthquake. Now, speaking to people, they are enthusiastic about the results of this election.
March 31st is a pivotal date in Iran's modern history, marking the 45th anniversary of the day millions of Iranians voted in favor of establishing the Islamic Republic system. This historic referendum fulfilled the nation's long-cherished democratic aspirations, giving rise to a governance system rooted in the will of the people. Our correspondent has a report on that.
Iran commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Islamic Republic's inception, a significant event that falls on March 31st this year. This commemoration honors the momentous day when, shortly after the fall of the U.S.-supported Pahlavi regime in 1979, millions of Iranians participated in a landmark referendum. This vote effectively concluded over two millennia of monarchical rule in Iran. An overwhelming 98.2% of the electorate endorsed the formation of an Islamic Republic. Regarded as a watershed in Iran's contemporary narrative, the referendum was a manifestation of the nation's enduring quest for an Islamic democracy.
We commemorate this day because it led to the establishment of a theocratic democracy. The nation cast their ballots in favor of this divine political system to gain freedom and independence.
Despite numerous challenges since the revolution's inception, Iranians have charted a path of success through steadfastness and resolve, positioning themselves as an exemplar for nations aspiring to freedom.
Thank God, Iran is now under the magnifying glass of other countries. We have now become a role model for regional and Muslim countries, and they look up to us.
The principles of independence and liberty central to the Iranian populace's overwhelming endorsement of the Islamic Republic 45 years ago continue to be the government's defining features.
The Islamic Republic Day is widely venerated by Iranians as a day that puts on display the power of people in determining the destiny of their country. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
That's a wrap for now. Bye, everybody.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, March 31st, 2024. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. And as tomorrow, April 1st, corresponds with the 21st of the holy month of Ramadan, I, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, express my condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful and the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. You may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. And as usual, we've received reception reports from around the world, this time from Harald Seuss from Austria, from Bala Murali from India, and from Najmuddin from Bangladesh. All of them are old and loyal listeners. So, Najmuddin, Bala Murali, and Harald Seuss, thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We just wanted you to know how much we value your support and commitment to our radio. And we've received emails from around the world, this time from Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan. Here we've received an email from Lu Dacheng from China, and Harald Seuss from Austria has sent us a piece of email. Later during the program, I will read these emails. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special. Undoubtedly, visiting holy and religious places gives us a special calm and peace in the heart. For many years, Iran has been a perfect destination for Muslims from all around the world, having housed some of the most beautiful, stunning shrines in its chest. In Iran, we have many religious sites, just like the holy shrine of Imam Reza, peace upon him, in Mashhad, Shah Abdul Azim Shrine in Ray, Shah Chiragh in Shiraz, Imam Zade Saleh Shrine in Tehran, and so many other places. And this time, I've decided to introduce you the holy shrine of Lady Fatima Masume, peace upon her, in the holy city of Qom, which after Imam Reza's shrine is the largest religious pilgrimage site in Iran. Now, before talking about the holy shrine of Lady Fatima Masume, peace upon her, let's read a piece of email from Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan. Malik Allah Bachaya says, "Dear staff, English radio service programs play a crucial role in disseminating information about the world to listeners across the globe. Your programs serve as a vital source of news, analysis, and cultural exchange, fostering understanding and connectivity among diverse communities. Moreover, English service radio programs offer in-depth analysis and commentary on various global issues, providing listeners with valuable insights and perspectives. through interviews with experts, policymakers, and eyewitnesses, whether discussing conflicts, diplomatic negotiations, or socioeconomic trends. These programs help audiences grasp the intricacies of global dynamics. In addition to news and analysis, English service programs also promote cultural exchange and understanding. Through features, documentaries, and interviews with artists, writers, and cultural figures from diverse backgrounds, these programs showcase the richness and diversity of human experience. Overall, IRIB English radio programs play a vital role in informing, educating, and connecting audiences around the world. By providing timely news coverage, insightful analysis, cultural exchange, looks forward to hearing from you. Regards. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, to Malik Alapachayo from Pakistan. Many thanks for writing to us, IRIB English Radio. I do appreciate you for letting us know what you think about our programs, and it's really good to know that you have a positive view about our broadcast. Again, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, Malik Alapachayo from Pakistan. So please accept our electronic QSLS confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. So, I was saying, the holy city of Qom is the religious center of Iran and the city with the most pilgrims after Mashhad. The magnetic holy gem shining brightly at the center of this city is the shrine of Lady Fatima Masuma, peace upon her, daughter of Imam Musa Kazim, the seventh infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Lady Fatima Masuma, peace upon her, is also the sister of Imam Reza, the eighth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam whose shrine is located in Mashhad. Many believers go all the way to Qom to pay homage to the innocent lady. The intricate tile work and the picture of golden dome accompanied by the azure blue and turquoise color on the minarets absorb the soul of the prayers and grants them an unbelievable level of calmness and tranquility. The shrine catches everyone's attention when it comes to architectural beauty and the staggering design of patterns. The floral motifs under the alcoves and the impressive calligraphy and inscriptions in perfect harmony with the spirit of the place mesmerize you. The different courtyards of the holy shrine reflect several decades of Iranian history and architecture. And later during the program, I will talk about these great courtyards. Now, let's see what Lu Dacheng from China says. Lu Dacheng from China says, dear friends at English section of IRIB Radio. Hello, I am Lu Dacheng from China. I am your loyal listener. I always listen to your programs on shortwave. I know the Islamic Republic of Iran. I know it is an Islamic country. So hereby, I'd like to say Happy Ramadan to all your Muslim listeners. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, Lu Dacheng from China. Please accept our warm gratitude to you for this email, and thank you very much for your Ramadan wishes to us and to all our Muslim listeners. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. An electronic QSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to your email. Thank you. So I was talking about the different courtyards of the holy shrine of Lady Fatima Masuma, peace upon her. It has courtyard of Sahib al-Zaman. This courtyard, together with its houses, has an area of 8,000 square meters, and it has entrances on four directions. This courtyard, with its rooms together, has an area of 8,000 square meters. Its structure is designed with beautiful Quranic inscriptions written in Kufic script that attracts the interest of visitors and pilgrims to the new structure built by white cement and bricks. A beautiful pool with the new design is built in the middle of this courtyard using lightning technology. It has a nice exhibit at night. And this shrine has also Najme Khatun Shabestan, which is a prayer hall. This Shabestan is located at the bottom of the Imam Khomeini Shabestan with an area of 8,000 square meters. It is built with a special architectural features and is used for holding religious ceremonies. Also, during pilgrimage seasons, when the holy shrine is overcrowded, it is allocated for women. There is a level difference of about 50 centimeters high in the middle part of this Shabestan as a new design that has produced a very special effect. Also, there is Imam Khomeini Shabestan. This Shabestan or prayer hall has an area of 8,000 square meters with entrances on all four sides. There are short pillars around the Shabestan where a half floor is built on them. There are also four high pillars in the middle of this area, and a low square-shaped dome is mounted over them. On the Qibla side of the Shabestan, there is a magnificent altar that is mihrab, which displays the fine taste of Iranian architecture. Also, there is the courtyard of Imam Hadi, peace upon him, and the courtyard of Imam Reza, peace upon him. In the beautiful courtyard of Imam Reza, peace upon him, there are north, south, east, and west porches. These luxurious porches, particularly the mirror porch and the pool and the waterfront in the center of the holy courtyard with the special features, renovated in their traditional form in 2011, have multiplied the beauty of this holy site. Welcome back. And I was talking about your emails, Harald Seuss from Austria, as I said earlier in the program, has sent us a piece of email. Harald Seuss is one of our loyal listeners who says, "Dear staff, I could receive an IRIB program during my trip. I have made a reception report. Please see the attachment." If my report is correct, I would ask you if you can verify it by a QSL card. I send you and all the colleagues in your English department my best wishes, best regards. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran, to you, Harald Seuss from Austria. Thank you very much for writing to us. So please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So, dear listeners, today the shrine of our innocent Lady of Qom, Lady Fatima Masuma, peace upon her, is the cynosure of the eyes of the faithful from all over the world. While the city of Qom has become the center of diffusion of the genuine teachings of Prophet, as bequeathed by the immaculate progeny of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, peace upon them. Aras, tomorrow, April 1st, corresponds with the 21st of the holy month of Ramadan. I, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, express my condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful and the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Dear listeners, here we've come to the end of our today's program. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about different verses of the Holy Quran that are related to the concept of humanity in the Holy Quran. And in the previous episode, we ended up talking about intellect as one very important aspect and dimension of the soul according to the verses and teachings of the Holy Quran. And then we ended up talking about different ahadith narrations from the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam that interpret and explain the intellect. And so far we have read two hadith, and the last one we couldn't finish, the one from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in the previous episode, that basically was talking, the hadith was talking about how divine prophets, actually they have the most perfect intellect. And this intellect is different than like the scientific intellect in the sense that nowadays we understand, because this scientific intellect is based on how to dominate over nature, how to make use of nature towards the sometimes different ends, like sometimes bad and evil goals, sometimes good goals. But that intellect is different. The intellect that we talk about that is in the Holy Quran is the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'rifah of the origin and the return, al-mabda wa al-mahad. A person who exactly knows what he's doing in this planet. That scientific intellect does not tell you about al-mabda wa al-ma'ad, does not tell you about the origin, does not tell you about the return. Yes, there are conjectures, but at the end of the day, it's not experimental knowledge. Nobody can have experimental knowledge of the start of the creation or the end of creation. And or the end of, they don't call it creation even because they don't believe in, but it, whatever that is the case, they don't know what will going to happen to it. And yet, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, they only follow the conjectures that they have. Anyways, so the Imam said, narrated from the Prophet ﷺ, that the Prophet said, "Inna ma'ashar al-anbiya, we, the group of the prophets, umirna, we have been commanded, we have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an nukallim an-nas ala qadr uqulihim, to talk to people only to the level or to the capacity that they have in terms of rationality and reason." So this is very important when it comes to different teachings of the religion, because the content in the Quran and Hadith, there are different levels of understanding it. Sometimes some people, because they have just superficial level of understanding or surface level, let's say, surface level understanding of the ideology of the religion, they don't dig deeper, they don't know the secrets lying deep within, underneath those shell of the religion, that shell of the religion. they think that that is it, like religion has only this part. But no, we have different levels of faith. We talked about different levels of faith in one episode. And like the way we have different levels of understanding the verses of the Holy Quran. And the secret to build a correct and long-lasting relationship with the Holy Quran is to open your heart for different. And when we say different, it doesn't mean contrasting. No, different means all the same things, but in different layers. Allama Tabatabai explains this in the beginning of his tafsir, Tafsir al-Mizan, and inshallah, in some episode, we should talk about that as well. We will have a break and we come back to continue our discussion and going through some of other ahadith about the intellect.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we finished one hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Now we shall go on to the next group of ahadith that explain one beautiful line from the Holy Quran. Now, this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran is this: "Inna sharra ad-dawab 'inda Allah as-summu al-bukmu alladhina la ya'qilun." We had this in one episode, that like the way intellect is the best of the best in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma khalaq Allah afdal min al-aql, as we have in some hadith, or ma qassama Allah bayna ibadihi shay'an afdal min al-aql. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not distributed, has not given anything to anyone better than intellect. And we have the opposite. The worst in the eyes of Allah, the worst in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the deaf and dumb, those who don't think. Now, when you hear deaf and dumb, it doesn't mean like the physical problem, disabilities that people have. No, no. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. Quran explains in another verse that this is not about the disability of the physical eye. No. وَلَكَنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصَّدُورِ. It's about the disability of a person or blindness of the heart. We have explained this in several episodes. So, Quran says, الشر الدواب, the worst kind of beast, doesn't even call it human. Dawab means beast, like just walking animal. In the eyes of Allah are those who don't use their intellect. How frightening this is. And we have a hadith in that line, in Alal al-Shara'ib al-Shaykh al-Saduq alayhi al-Rahmah, by his chain of transmitters, he narrates from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, ما خلق الله عز وجل شيئاً أبغض إليه من الحمق. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created anything أبغض إليه, that he doesn't like, that he hates. Even you can use that بغض, because he has that meaning. Then stupidity, foolishness. And this foolishness is not, like as they said, mental disability, because there is one beautiful hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that he was walking. I think we should talk about it in the next episode, because we cannot cover it, give it its due right in this episode. That the Prophet was walking among a group of his companions, and they walked past a person who had this mental disability. And people had gathered around him. And the Prophet asked, what's wrong? What's going on? And the disciples said, well, there's a majnoon. There's an insane person here. There's a crazy person here. And the Prophet looked at the person and said, no, he's not. He's not crazy. He has, إِنَّمَا هُوَ الْمُصَابِ. He has some problem. It's something out of his control. This has happened to him. Something has afflicted him, and he has this problem. This is a mental disability that he has, and we should help him, something to this life. إِنَّمَا هُوَ الْمُصَابِ الْمَجْنُونَ عَقَّ الْمَجْنُونَ. The true crazy person is a person, مَنْ آثَرَ دُنْيَاهُ عَلَى الْآخَرَ, the person who sells his akhirah in return for dunya, who destroys eternity for a temporary reward. That is the true. And there are different other versions of this hadith. Inshallah, in the next episode, we go through the hadith, which is very beautiful. Thank you very much for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
In the limelight.
The blood of the Palestinian martyrs and the tears of their children will always remain an eloquent, if tragic, testimony to the utter hypocrisy of Western human rights crusaders and the prevalent unjust world order. Just as apartheid was declared a crime against humanity and a threat to world peace, there cannot be peace in the world with the presence of Zionism. Zionism and the Zionist entity should not be allowed to exist in the community of nations. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International wrote, "Even before the creation of Israel from the rib of terrorism, this settler colonial entity weaved a web of lies and myths to hide its litany of crimes against humanity. This apartheid entity developed a very sophisticated propaganda machine known as Hasbara. Hollywood played a role in spreading these myths, producing films such as The Exodus and Ben-Hur. Mainstream media spread lies such as land without people for a people without land, that Zionism was a national liberation movement. It called resistance by the indigenous occupied people terrorism. The ethnic cleansing and collective punishment were enabled by the United States of America, Britain, Germany, France, and other settler colonial states such as Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. All these countries were settler colonial entities that decimated the indigenous populations of the lands they occupied. These same countries continue to support the apartheid Zionist entity with arms, diplomatic cover, and financial aid. What possesses a people, themselves erstwhile victims, that can perpetrate such horrendous crimes we have been witnessing for the last 6 months in Gaza?" Zionist ideology is a fundamental pillar of Israel. It is a racist, apartheid settler colonial state that believes Palestine should be exclusively Jewish, without any Palestinians, Muslim, or Christians. They insist that Palestinians must be expelled from that land. It perfected an ideology that dehumanized the indigenous population. It regards the indigenous population as subhuman. unleashing its military might that would inflict death and destruction on the innocent, infants, and women. The perpetrators of such horrors have no conscience, are without remorse, and act with impunity. Zionism indoctrinated into the Jewish people of a toxic mix of fear, anti-Palestinian sentiment, rewarding Israeli settler colonialists for aggression against Palestinians, all of which has bred a lack of empathy in Israelis towards the Palestinians. Fear among Israelis is sustained through militarization, reframing resistance as terrorism, remembering past atrocities such as the Holocaust, constant accusations of anti-Semitism, and focusing on perceived and manufactured threats. These ensure the settler population's continued support for aggressive, expansionist, racist, and genocidal policies. All settler colonial endeavors, including South Africa's, typically depend on depicting the targeted territory as uninhabited and its existing inhabitants as inhuman barbarians unworthy of any land. This portrayal allowed Zionists to displace the indigenous population of Palestine without moral columns, portraying the establishment of Israel not as the destruction of a people, but as the construction of a civilized villa in the jungle. And if there is any resistance by the indigenous population, call them simply terrorists. The South Africans know well that the terrorist label is in fact a badge of honor. South Africa's former president, Nelson Mandela, was on the U.S. terrorist list right up to 2008. Zionism is a racist settler colonialist movement, which opportunistically coops aspects of Judaism. This enterprise is based on the mass expulsion of the Palestinians and usurpation of their land for the exclusive use of Jews. Zionism means occupation, ethnic cleansing, unending massacres, bombardment of entire civilian population, wars of aggression, dispossession, exile, systematic racism, and apartheid-style separation. Zionism means that there will be massacres until the establishment of a Jewish-only state in Palestine. Jewish in the sense of giving privileges to Jews and denying almost all the rights of the indigenous Palestinians. It is not surprising, then, that they would ignore the United Nations, the International Court of Justice, international humanitarian law, and arrogantly dismiss any judgments by any international institution that rule against Israel. Just as white supremacy in South Africa gave rise to apartheid, Bantustans, inferior education, job reservation, group areas, etc., Jewish supremacy in Palestine gave rise to apartheid, exclusively expulsion, and now genocide. Unless the occupiers of Palestine are de-Zionized, injustice against the Palestinians will continue. There will be no end to the killings because it has become embedded in the psyche of the Zionists to dominate and enslave those it perceives as lesser human beings. They have done this for the last 75 years without accountability. It is the courage of the South African government that, for the first time in the Zionist regime's history, it has been taken to task for its egregious crimes against humanity. And this challenge is not only against the racist Israeli entity, but also against those Western regimes that back Israel and the shameless Arab rulers who care more about protecting their illegitimate thrones than human rights and justice. The world today is divided between a minority of powerful imperialist white supremacists and their puppets who support the genocide of the Palestinians and the majority of the people who do not. The ICJ decision places the Zionist regime squarely in the company of genocidal white colonial settler societies. As South Africa's moral voice, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, stated, "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor." The Palestinian struggle for liberation, self-determination, and self-rule is actually a war. They fight on behalf of the liberation of the exploited masses in the global south. The blood of the Palestinian martyrs and the tears of their children will always remain an eloquent, if tragic, testimony to the utter hypocrisy of Western human rights crusaders and the prevalent unjust world order. Just as apartheid was declared a crime against humanity and a threat to world peace, there cannot be peace in the world with the presence of Zionism. Zionism and the Zionist entity should not be allowed to exist in the community of nations.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
RIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. There's a beautiful hadith from Rasulullah about this beautiful, most beautiful night in the year, which is called Laylatul Qadr. There's a three nights of Laylatul Qadr, the first night, the second night, and inshallah very soon we are going to be in the third night as well. In this beautiful hadith, Rasulullah says, Shahr Ramadan Sayyidu Shuhur, means the month of Ramadan is the leader of all other months. There's a beauty in other months. Month of Rajab, there's a beauty in it. Month of Sha'ban, there's a beauty in it. Like Zilhijjah, there's a beauty in it. But among all other months, month of Ramadan is the leader, is the superior to all of them. Shahr Ramadan, Sayyidu Shuhur, wa Laylatul Qadr, Sayyidatul Ali. And the night of Qadr, the night of destiny, is the leader of all other nights. Basically, Ramadan is the month of Quran. There's a hadith from Rasulullah in Ahlul Bayt where they say month of Ramadan is the spring of Quran. Spring of Quran means you enjoy with Quran. In the month of spring, we enjoy the nature, we enjoy the greenery, we enjoy everything. In the month of Ramadan, why Ramadan is month of Quran? In Ramadan, there is a spring of Quran because we enjoy a lot of our time with Quran. There's a beautiful hadith, it's a beautiful story from one of the great scholar, Ayatollah Sayyid Abdul Karim Kashmiri, where he says, if you can't read a lot of ayat, don't worry, just read one ayah and keep reading this ayah from morning, from the dawn till dusk. Keep reading this ayah. Every ayah has a hijab on its face. Every ayah has a veil on its face. If you keep reading this hadith, keep reading. At the end, by the dawn, by the dusk, or by the maghrib, this ayah will remove the veil from its face, and you will know the secret of this ayah. It's a beautiful blessing. It's a beautiful secret. It's a beautiful code. It's a beautiful gift from Ayatollah Sayyid Abdul Karim Kashmiri, this great arif. He says, if you can recite a lot of ayat, no worries, no worries. But make yourself busy with one ayah and keep reading it. Keep reading it with the intention of you're trying to learn something from this ayah. And as he mentioned that every ayah has a secret in it. At least a secret, or maybe tons of secrets in ayah. You know, this has been said in hadith. There's a first level of meaning in the hadith. The second level of second depth, or setting second deep status in the ayah. The third deep status. The fourth deep status. So as much as you read this ayah, keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep contemplating on it. Keep thinking on it. It will take you to the deeper meaning, and that's the goal. That's the goal. You don't have to recite a lot of Quran while you don't understand that. No, there's no benefit. Try to read Quran while you understand it. Read the meaning beside the reading Arabic. Always read the meaning. Always read the translation. What language you speak, English, Urdu, Hindi, Farsi, I don't know, Japanese, Spanish, what language you speak, always recite Quran with the translation so you understand that Quran should go into your blood, into your mind, into your spirit. Marhum Ayatollah Kashmiri said, keep reciting one ayah many, many times in a day and keep thinking on it until this ayah remove the veil from its face and gives you its gift. Gives you its gift. And what's the gift? The secret lies down in this beautiful ayah. So this is the beauty of Laylatul Qadr. This is the beauty of Qadr nights. In Qadr night, you have to relate yourself somehow with the deeper level of Quran. May Allah give us tawfiq to follow the depth of Quran, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
the Spotlight.